For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. We read together, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, starting at verse 13, and reading through to chapter 3, verse 9. Let us hear God's holy word. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course, and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Our text for this first Lord's Day of the year is the first part of verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 3, where we read again, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Dear congregation, in the beginning of a year we are often focused on the future. Plans for the future, hopes for the future, goals for the future, goals for this coming year, that we want to reach a certain place, be a certain place in this year. And I don't simply mean to go and visit certain locations on this earth, but to be somewhere with regard to our finances or with regard to our health or with regard to our education or our family, or our business, or our farm, or wherever it may, whatever it may be, but in these various areas of our life, we like to be somewhere. And there are many guides which would offer their services to us. There are books, there are health professionals, and there are counselors, and there are financial advisors, and there's teachers, and family, and friends, and magazines, and so many other things which would give us advice. How to reach our goals and to guide us. There's always Satan there as well. To guide us to happiness. And there's a world with its pleasures and its possessions and its thoughts. And there's sin. And there's false teachers. And there's our own corrupt desires. And all these things are willing to guide us this year in order to lead us to happiness and to reach our goal. But when Paul sees all those guides, he says, no, not those guides. Because my eyes are set on a greater place than all those other places that have just been mentioned. I desire to see this congregation in Thessalonica reach the best place that anyone can possibly be in. And that is the love of God. Can there be a better place? than for your heart to be in the love of God. The worst place in the world is to be without the love of God. Then 1 Corinthians 16 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Even if he's rich, and even if he's healthy, and even if he has friends, and even if he succeeds in reaching every goal he sets for himself, still he is accursed. But to be in the love of God, to be in the love of God this year, is to be truly blessed. Who will be the guide into that love of God? It's none less than the Lord himself. And therefore our theme this morning is prayer for hearts directed into love. Prayer for hearts directed into love. First, the best place. And secondly, the only guide. The best place and the only guide. Paul is writing here to the congregation in Thessalonica. It was a young congregation. It had a zeal and an eagerness for the kingdom of God to come. But it had gone to such a fervor that they expected Christ to return at any moment. And that even led some of them to stop working, and there's no use to work if Christ is going to come at any moment. There was that mixture. On the one hand, they had turned from idols to the living God. And on the other hand, they were open to spirits of deception who would lead them astray. And some were walking disorderly. And that is why it was a young congregation. There was the grace of God in the midst of the congregation. And yet they needed to be further grounded in the grace of God. In the truth of God. And that's understandable when we remember that Paul had come to Thessalonica. And he had been there for a very short time. And the Lord had richly blessed his ministry there. Jews had been converted, especially Gentiles had been converted. And yet, it was shortly after he came already that he had to leave the city due to persecution. A little later, he had sent Silas and Timothy out of concern for the church there to establish them and to comfort them in the faith. And that's also why he writes this epistle. On the one hand, he is thankful for what the Lord has done among them. And he prays in the first verses that the blessing that the Thessalonians have received would also flow unto others as well, and he exhorts them to pray that that would be the case. And he also has a certain confidence in verse 4 that they will do what he has commanded them. But what is that confidence based on? And in what way will they be led to do what he has commanded? In what way will they be filled with a zeal also that that gospel will be spread? In what way will they be truly blessed and established and rooted as a congregation? It's our text. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. The only way for us to be grounded, the only way for us to be blessed, the only way for us to walk in submission to Christ is this way. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Do you see here how it's about our heart? Our heart must be in the best place for us to be blessed. Our heart is that most important part of our being. Our heart is that hidden core of our being, where we think and will and love and desire. And our heart inside our beings is what governs and controls the rest of our being. It's what controls our eyes and what we look at, and controls our ears and what we listen to, and controls our mouth and our hands and our feet and our whole body. It's our heart. And therefore, for us to be in the best place this year, our heart must be in the best place. And if our heart is in the right place, that will affect all of our life. That's what true religion is about, isn't it? It's not just about having certain truths that we hear and we store in our minds, and yes, we know them all and we are orthodox. That's important. But it's more. It's not just a set of rules that we are to keep, and as long as we keep these various rules of how we are to live, then that is true religion. That's important. But it's more. It's not just having some emotions and some feelings. It involves feeling, but it's more. True religion doesn't involve the whole heart. It involves your heart in the love of God. That expression, love of God, can be taken two ways. When we speak of love of God, it can mean love for God, the love of God we have, or it can mean God's love toward us. What is it here? If you say this prayer for hearts to be led into the love of God must be a reference to the led into God's love, then meditate on what that means. God's love is a divine and infinite love. We read in 1 John 4, God is love. Not just that God has some love, or even God has much love, but we read God is love. God is the fullness of love. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are full of love for one another, and He is the fullness of delight and joy in His own glory. He is the fullness of love for all that is holy and pure and glorifying to Him. And then the text would say that our hearts would be directed into that infinite and divine love of God. Do you understand? That the heart of a little creature of the dust would be led into that infinite and divine love of God Himself. And that the heart of a sinful creature would be led into that holy love of God. If you've seen anything of yourself, you say, how can that be? Is that so overwhelming that we have to conclude that that's not what the text means after all, and it must only mean that we are called to love Him in our hearts? Yet if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we find that God does indeed bring hearts into His love. We read in 1 John 4, verse 16, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It speaks of God's people dwelling in love and dwelling in God because God is love. The overwhelming truth. Heart, a whole being, dwelling in the God of love, dwelling in the love of God. That's in the way of Romans 5 as well. It says God dwelling in God and God in Him as the God of love. There in Romans 5 we read, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The picture there may be of a room. It's dark. And what happens when you have a dark room and you bring a light, flashlight, a light, a lantern into that room? You bring a lantern into that room and it lights up that whole room. The light is shed abroad and fills that room. And so God comes with His love, the light of His love, and He lightens up a heart. The picture can also be of a bucket. And you pour water into it until the bucket is full and it overflows. This word for shed abroad can also has a meaning of gush, of pour out, of spill over. Romans 5 says, the Holy Spirit so fills hearts with the love of God that they are full and they overflow. A heart in His love is a heart filled with His love. What is that love? What is that love shed abroad in our hearts? As Romans 5 says, you know what it is. Isn't it what the next verses say in that chapter, verse 6 and following? When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is there anything more blessed than to have a heart filled with that love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ that you come to see? God so showed his love that he sent his own Son to die for me while I was an enemy. And that he was moved to send his Holy Spirit into my heart to change my heart while it was so resistant of him. What love. What love. Love that moves him now to see my every need and difficulty and problem and sin and misery, to see who I am and to delight to give every mercy I need. What a love that is infinite as God is infinite, shed abroad in my heart. What an undeserved love that this holy God of love would shed abroad his love in my filthy, sinful heart. What a faithful love that does not change. What a gracious and love that is determined not to withhold any good thing, but keep from all evil and to fill with every blessing of eternal salvation. My friend, this year, can you think of a better place for your heart to be than to be in that love of God? So that the prayer also of Ephesians 3, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That it is a love as vast as God is, without limit in any direction. How broad. That there is no circumstance and no sin that is broader than the love of God. And how long, that it is evermore the love of God is changeless to everlasting. And he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And how deep that it stoops down to the greatest of sinners, and that it stoops lower yet to secure that full salvation. And how high, that it is higher than all the powers and places and things and people. There is nothing higher than God, and there is nothing higher than his love. Oh, what a blessing to enjoy that love. Not only to hear it, not only be able to say some truths about that love, but to be led with your heart into that love. To enjoy that love. To delight in that love. Is it not better than anything else in the world? Isn't that what makes the psalmist say, thy loving kindness is better than life? It's then a love that surrounds your whole being, your body, your soul. A love that causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to his gracious purpose. Nothing more delightful for this year than for your heart to be led into the love of God and for the love of God to be in your heart. And that is what leads to love him in return. We come to that other possible meaning of the love of God. It may not only mean God's love, but it also may mean love to God. And isn't that the effect when God shows his love? It's not that first we are to love God and then he will love us. But it's he shows his love. And in return, there is love to him. Some of us may be trying to reach God's heart of love by your love. Are you trying to be pleasing enough to him so that he will, after you are pleasing enough to him, show you his love? But that never works. 1 John 4 says, we love him because he first loved us. It's not because we loved him, he loved us, but we love him because he first loved us. It is his everlasting love that moves him to lead our hearts to love him, John says. And his love shed abroad in our hearts is what inclines us to love him. And then our focus is upon his love, his loving kindness. How blessed in this year to have our hearts led into that love of God. To value God above everything else, regardless of what people do to us, and regardless of how our work goes, and regardless of what our health is, and regardless of... To be able to say with Psalm 73, in earth or heaven above, who is there that I love, compared with thee? To be able to sing with Psalter 203, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thine own, to keep me near thy side. But God is the most precious. And God is the one you desire then to exalt. But that heart, that song rises up to God. My heart doth overflow. Because the love of God is shed abroad in it, my heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. Heart of love is a heart that delights in this God. With Psalm 104 says, my meditation on him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. Because when he shows his love, it is such a wonder that it draws your mind and it draws your heart to meditate upon him. And then your heart cannot be filled with anything more amazing and anything more beautiful than the love of God. It's that love of God that also gives a love to his will. It makes holiness a delight. Then that law is not a burden anymore. I have to do this because the Ten Commandments tell me to do this, but I actually really want to do that. But when that love of God is shed abroad in your heart, then sin becomes repulsive. Then the love of the world dries up. And then sin loses its attraction. And then your desire is, how may I live in the love to this God, in service to him, to the honor of his name? Then it's not difficult to let go anymore, but you can't hold on to sin in the world anymore because he has embraced you. With your heart directed into this love, then you will heed this call not to love the world, for the world passes away, and you will understand, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, but a delight. 1 John 2 says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That means the goal of God shedding abroad his love into a heart is to fill that heart with a love to him that wants to keep his word. That's the goal. And so if we come back to that question, what does it mean, the love of God? Is it our hearts directed into God's love, or is it our hearts directed into love for God? After hearing this, we don't really have to give an answer, do we? Because they're both not so bound together. His love leading to love him. The one can't be without the other. And so the prayer is to be directed into both. And yet this prayer does not mean that if your heart is directed into his love, then you know all that love and you experience all that love and you have perfect love to him. Even when the Lord directs your heart into his love, yet there is still so much that is lacking, isn't it? His love is full and perfect, and yet your experience of it is not complete. And all you who know his love do love him in response, and yet you find your love so weak and so faint and so cold compared to what it ought to be. and it is never done. And there is always more to receive of that love, more to exercise of love in this life. It's not learned all in one day. And I think that's also one of the reasons why Paul links that your hearts would be directed into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. A heart that stretches out in love to God is not content as long as what is contrary to that love is still present. And then you find so much still contrary, and that is why you long for that day when that love will be perfected. For that day when you will love him with unsinning heart. Then you cannot be content as long as there is any distance between God and your soul, as long as there are still obstacles between him and you. Then there is that waiting for the better day. A heart of love is a heart that waits for that better day when Christ shall return. It's that heart that knows the love of God. It takes away the terror for that final day and the terror for death, and stirs up with a longing for him to come. And in the meantime, it makes you a pilgrim, a stranger here on earth, because your heart is no longer here on earth. Your heart can only rest, can only be satisfied in the love of God. It's what gives endurance. To look to that city that has foundations, to continue on in that way, and to rather endure hardships on that way than to turn back. This is a place, congregation, that Paul prays them to be in with their hearts. Hearts in the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. At this point, I don't ask you whether your heart is always there. And I don't even ask you if your heart has ever been there. But at this point, I ask you, is there any better place for your heart to be this year than in the love of God? Can there be? After hearing about what it is to have our hearts in the love of God, can you still dare, can you still desire to chase after sin in this year and seek your happiness in the world, which will lead you to death under the wrath of this infinite God of love because you've spurned his love? After hearing what it is to have a heart in the love of God, can you still go on? Or can you seek your goals in this life to enjoy your own, the things of this earth? As a young person, that your only goal would be to get married and have a family and get a good job, and those things may be all good in themselves, but if that is your only goal, if that is the only thing you're concerned about, my friend, it is so empty. And if as an adult your goal is just to stay healthy and enjoy your vacations and get on with your work, those things may be all nice in themselves, but on their own and without knowing in your heart the love of God, your life is so empty. Or not. And even as a child of God, if you become so caught up in wanting to be here and wanting to be there and wanting to have this and wanting to be like that, and in the meantime you have forgotten the love of God, and if you're honest this morning, your spiritual life is so languished. Contrast all that with our hearts being led into the love of God. If our hearts are in the love of God this year, then we shall be blessed. Then if this year is our last year, if our hearts, if death finds us in the love of God, then our death will be gain. Then we will be able to say with William Romaine on his deathbed, I have peace of God in my conscience and the love of God in my heart, and I may depart. And then if you go through trials in this year, and those trials may be great, and those trials may be deep, and they may be trials that no one else really understands how bad they are, but if you go through them with your heart in the love of God, then you may still be able to say, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken. Blessed be the name of God. And then if you have to go through this year and you may feel so alone, and you, if your heart is in this love of God, you still will not be alone. And if in this year you do receive outward prosperity, then it will be not an idol, but it will lead you to say, blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then you will be able to enjoy the bounty God gives as a token of the love of God. And then if this in this coming year, there are unexpected changes that come, and so turn your life upside down, which you never predicted at this day, the beginning of the year. Yet if all those changes find your heart in the love of God, you will be able to know, even though everything changes around me, evermore, the love of God is changeless. Can there be a better place for your heart? My heart and the love of God. You say, yes, maybe that is the best place, but that is so unrealistic. That is so idealistic. That is so beyond the reach. But my friend, can you be content with less? Can you be content just with the goods and the pleasures and the friends and the family and not the love of God? You can't be content with less, can you? You say, how to reach this love of God? You can't reach this love of God. You can't bring yourself into this love of God. And don't trust yourself to bring yourself into this love of God. Paul doesn't trust you to bring yourself into the love of God. Paul didn't trust the Thessalonians to bring themselves into this love of God. And that's exactly why he prayed, because he knew there was a guide to direct into this love. And that is why he said, the Lord direct your hearts. And that's why our second point is the best guide, the only guide into this love. And that's a needed guide. We just heard that we can't be content apart from this love of God. And yet I fear, even though you've heard that, some of us are content apart from that love of God. And you may sit here and think, when is the minister going to be done and I can get on with life? Your goals in life. This love means nothing to you. Because our problem by nature isn't just that we don't know how to receive that love, but that we don't want that love. What other explanation can there be for why someone here can be more eager to get ahead in his work or in his school or his own goals and does not hunger and thirst and cry out for this love? It's because you don't want it. Why is it that anyone can be more interested in hearing about daily work and the events that this person did and that person did than to hear about the love of God? It's because that love means nothing to you. And if that is your case, then what does it show? It shows that your heart is bent away from this God, and it confirms the truth of God's word, that we are transgressors from the womb that go astray. And that is implied in that word for direct, because that word for direct literally means to straighten. And what do you straighten? It's not something that's straight already, but something that's crooked. That has to be straightened. And the reason why Paul prays that their hearts would be straightened into the love of God is because he knows that the natural heart is bent away from that love of God because it's full of sin. He knows that by nature our hearts go the opposite direction because he also wrote in Romans 8, the natural mind is enmity against God. How can that be? How can anyone not love God? It's because your heart is so corrupt that you think good is evil and evil is good, and you think God, who is supreme good, would harm you, and you think sin would give you happiness. It's because you believe the devil and not God. What a guide we then need. Not only to tell us where to find that place, but also to turn us, our hearts, toward that love. It's also needed because there are so many obstacles that come between us and that love. That pathway is choked up and blocked by so many obstacles. That word for direct is also used in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11, where Paul speaks of the hostility of the Jews and Satan opposing him and blocking up that way to come to the Thessalonians. And he prays that the Lord would direct our way unto you, that he would make a straight path through all those obstacles and clear them out of the way so that Paul could come to them. But what obstacles there are between us and the love of God. He prays God to direct our hearts, to clear those obstacles away. What obstacles? Are there not those obstacles of unbelief and blindness and ignorance and hardness of heart? Are there not even worse obstacles, and that is the barrier of the wrath of God against sin and the curse of God upon transgressors and the guilt that is in me that demands God to come not with his love but to come with his punishment and to come with his curse? And so that curse can seem as a massive mountain and a wall between me and the love of God. How great it can appear. You come to see what you deserve. And what a guide we need to clear away all those obstacles and to make a pathway through them all into the love of God. There's one other thing we need in this guide. Not only to turn us, not only to clear a path, but also to give the strength or not. We can hear about who we are. We can hear what the love of God is. We can hear about the path that leads there, which is Christ, that new and living way. And we can hear about how to walk on that way. And yet, you feel so powerless to take a step. And when you feel that, you feel what God himself says, what Christ himself says. No man can come unto me except the Father draw him. What a guide he must be, who not only points out the way, but gives strength to go on that way into the love of God. Is this the guide you need this morning? To turn your heart, just so bent away, to clear those barriers away, to strengthen you and enable you to go with your heart into that love. Is that the guide that you need? That's a guide not only those who are unconverted need. That's a guide that also those who know God's grace need. Paul still prays that this guide would direct their hearts into the love of God. That's not because they were all unbelievers, but because he knew that even in believers, there is still so much sin, which is still enmity against God. There is still that old man. There is still that corruption which turns away from God. You found that? And there are still those doubtings of the love of God and that fear of approaching of him. And when the Lord again shows you something of who you are, then there can seem to be such barriers of the disfavor and anger of God which hide the love of God. You can still feel so weak, so helpless to bring yourself into the love of God again. You can be so earthly minded. And therefore, every single one of us need this guide. Blessed be God that not only is this guide needed, but there is also a qualified guide, and that is the Lord. And then for the next verse we read about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that qualified guide because He knows our hearts perfectly. He knows where we are by nature. He knows where we wander off to even after grace. He knows where every single one of us, the heart of each one of us here this morning, is right now. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're desiring. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where you are. And He knows how to bring any heart, wherever that heart may be, into the love of God. He knows a pathway between your heart right now. Even if that heart right now is filled with daydreams about sin, He's able to bring that heart. He knows a path from your heart into the love of God. He's qualified. He knows us all. And He knows the place of that love. He knows God's love perfectly. And He's able to reveal God's love perfectly. He's the Son in the bosom of the Father who has declared and revealed the Father. And He's the one who's able to lead, to direct our hearts. Whether we've never known that love, or whether we've gone astray from that love, or whether we taste that love and desire to be led deeper into that love, He is the one who is qualified to do all those things today. As a power, as the guide, He has a power to change and turn and make straight our hearts. He is able to break down that enmity and fill with love. He is able to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. As a mediator, He is qualified to clear away every obstacle that there can be. Do you feel those barriers of unbelief or hardness of heart or even spiritual death? He is the one who is able to clear them away. Do you feel those barriers of your sin and that guilt which calls out for God's judgments and curse and not His love? He is the one who clears them away, and He does so by His blood, which has opened up a new and living way of access unto God. It's His blood which has opened up that way. What a guide He is. What a gospel message that is for each one of us this morning. He is the needed guide. You cannot do without Him. He is the qualified guide. And He is also the effectual guide. He answers this prayer, and He directs hearts into His love and to love Him in return. The way can be painful. The way is painful. Because when He directs into the heart of God's love, He shows that the problem was not God's heart, but your heart. And He exposes the enmity of your heart and the sin of your heart and how terrible it is to sin against such a God of love. And in that way, He breaks down your pride. In that way, He breaks your heart. In that way, He leads you to confess, I have sinned against the God of love. But in that way, He causes all those other things that you have set your heart on to lose their attraction. And to turn your heart to Him. To desire to know His love. By His Spirit, He leads to realize that you cannot do without His love. And that He shows you that salvation is not by your love, but by His love. And that you can only receive salvation not by moving Him by what you have been and what you are, but only by Him being moved with love and grace. that stirs up a desire for Him, a hunger for Him, thirst for Him, drives out to Him. He also effectually directs into that love by revealing His glory and sufficiency and suitability and beauty as a Savior. In that way, He draws out your heart to Christ to receive that salvation so free, without any contribution of your own. He leads you to know Him as the mediator who reconciles enemies to Himself. The one who takes away all those barriers of curse and guilt, because He took all those burdens upon Himself and He bore that curse to take it away, to clear it off that path, to give access to God. He leads to shelter, to hide, to find refuge in Him. And being hidden in Him, He shows that God views you as He views Christ Himself, because Christ's righteousness becomes yours, and as He was well pleased with His Son, so He becomes well pleased with you. In this way, by His Spirit, Christ leads back to God, to be reconciled to God, to know the favor of God, to know the love, not just the love of Christ, but the love of God. He does so, congregation. And He does so for sinners. What a blessing it is when you look back and see that. How He did so also for you. And maybe when the Lord first showed His love, you thought, now you cannot do anything else than love Him all your days. Now you cannot do anything else than marvel for the rest of your life at the wonder of His undeserved love. Yet how is it? How is a child of God? Has that remained? Or have you grown cold? Have you begun to wander away? Become complacent? And has sin come between God and your soul? Those distracting cares and pleasures of this world so caught your attention, unbelief becomes so strong again. Do you not continually need this effectual guide? And is He not, does He not remain the effectual, the powerful guide back again into that love? When you still find that old principle, that sin and unbelief and disobedience, is that not to lead you to think of the power that He has showed you in the past and to again expect that power again to lead you back? And does He not do so time and again, that He takes away those obstacles and He gives strength to flee to Himself, to comprehend with all the saints the love of Christ, that He delivers from sin and He delivers from self-righteousness, which are such obstacles, and leads back again? Then you realize you're never done. And there's always more to learn. More to learn of that love of God. More to express of that love. And then you never outgrow this guide. And the amazing thing is He never becomes weary of being a guide. The Lord's directing into this love and waiting is effectual, because there is such power in Him. And here again, when we hear these things about the power of Christ to guide into the love of God, maybe you think that is all true. But why would He lead me again into that love of God when I've spoiled everything? Or maybe you look at yourself as a sinner and you think, why would He ever lead me? How can He ever lead me into that love? Will He do so? As a young person, as an older one. Congregation, He's an available guide. He's a guide that only needs to be asked. That's all. He does not charge anything. He does not require anything. He doesn't require assistance from you to bring you there. He only says, ask of Me. It's that simple. Because you're not the guide. He is the guide. The guide of those who are enemies by nature. The guide of those who are so wayward even after grace. He is the guide, and he says, ask of me, and I will guide you. It's too simple for a proud heart that wants to do something. But he says, you can do nothing and you need do nothing, but ask of me, and I will guide you. That's his word. That's his word of promise. His word which he will fulfill. And his word which he desires to be asked to fulfill. This year has begun. Is this your prayer? Oh Lord, I need one guide in this year because I desire to be in one place that is in the love of God. Direct my heart there. I can't of myself, but thou canst, and thou art full of grace to do so. He will. For we read, the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. Amen.